case of the day, White versus Barnhart. Mr. Whitley.
May it please the court, counsel. Ralph White has made application for Social Security disability benefits, and I know the court and counsel and most people that deal with Social Security are well versed in the five-step sequential process. And what this case is primarily about is step three of that process, and that is with regard to a listing. Now, in particular, Mr. White has a long history of all kinds of problems that he has had, everything from the top of his head to the tips of his toes. And he has come up with one reason or another for how these problems have come into being. The problem is that there is no objective medical evidence to really pinpoint what is causing him all of this pain. Now, I can tell you, and the record may reflect this some, that he walks with a cane. He, by all appearances, appears to be a man that's in great constant agony. He has lost all of his recreational activities, his home, and various things, and this has been ongoing for a number of years. Now, when this case was initially placed before the administrative law judge, we had a medical treating doctor that gave him a RFC, residual functional capacity, that he would reduce him below sedentary work. That doctor also sent him to a consulting psychologist who found that Mr. White suffered from somatoform disorder, which is one of the things in the listings under the third step of the sequential process. At hearing, the independent medical examiner, Dr. Steiner, also felt that Mr. White should be evaluated under the somatoform disorder listing. But that is all the further that inquiry ever progressed. The administrative law judge, in rendering his decision, said that the two doctors may have been mistaken about their understanding of the records, that there wasn't sufficient evidence to for them to conclude that there was a somatoform disorder, and he simply disregarded it. And I don't believe that that complies with the standard for substantial credible evidence, which we are dealing with here, primarily because we know that the standard requires that treating physicians be given more deferential weight than non-treating physicians, so long as the record supports their opinion. In this particular case, we have a treating physician who was made a reference to a consulting physician, I guess, and diagnosed a somatoform disorder. We also have the independent medical examiner who also made reference to somatoform disorder. Yet, there is no evidence in the record for anything contrary to what both the IME and the treating consulting physician said, and therefore I would suggest that the administrative law judge's decision fails to build this nexus or logical bridge between the facts and his conclusion. In fact, he doesn't even address it. More particularly, we know that the decision of whether somebody meets a listing is not a medical decision. The judge takes input from the doctors, and then that's a conclusion of law as to whether they actually do meet the listing. But the facts in this case, and I articulated them in my brief and went word by word through what that listing requires, Mr. White meets every requirement factually to meet that listing. So for the administrative law judge to say, well, I don't give any credibility to the only two doctors that gave opinions about somatoform disorder is not really all that relevant insofar as the doctors can't decide whether he meets a listing or not. They give input. What decides it is the facts. And the administrative law judge here refused to even explore the facts of the listing for Mr. White under somatoform disorder. There's no mention of it in his decision whatsoever. And I suggest in my brief, and I think I have exhaustive citations to the record, where each of the specific criteria under the listing is met. And just to briefly go through those, there's a history of multiple physical symptoms of several years duration that cause the individuals to take medicine frequently, see a physician often, and alter life patterns significantly. Then subset two is an or persistent non-organic disturbance of vision, speech, hearing, use of limb, movement, and its control, sensation, or unrealistic interpretation of physical signs or sensations associated with preoccupation or belief that one has a serious disease or injury. Certainly, Mr. White has that. But there's another or. It's not and, it's or. Unrealistic interpretation of physical signs or sensations associated with the preoccupation or belief that one has a serious disease or injury. And then there's another requirement there that that these symptoms result in a marked disturbance of important life functions, such as things like daily living, social functioning, persistence and pace, and these types of things. And the evidence in the record is all there, but it was simply ignored by the administrative law judge. And I think the Groves case, which is, I can't cite it, but it's one I argued several years ago, sets the criteria wherein the administrative law judge must build a logical nexus or a bridge connecting the facts of the case with the law in order to have that decision be compliant with substantial, credible evidence. And here that simply didn't happen. The undertaking was never actually done. The other aspect to this case, and I can tell you that I really think that the listing issue is our primary argument, but there's also the issue that the hypothetical question that the administrative law judge posed to the vocational expert was not based upon the opinion of the treating physician. It was based upon the opinion of Dr. Steiner, the IME doctor. And the vocational expert testified when I asked him, if you were to make a determination on whether this man is employable based on his own doctor's restrictions, would he be? And the vocational expert said, no, he would not be. Under Dr. Steiner's restrictions, the vocational expert said that he would be. The thing that is of particular concern to me about that is the administrative law judge disregards Dr. Steiner's opinions about somatoform disorder, says he doesn't know what he's talking about, and the record doesn't support it. But he does adopt Dr. Steiner's opinion with regard to residual functional capacity, which doesn't make a lot of sense, because if one opinion is not good, how can the other opinion all of a sudden be good? Yet he adopts that one opinion in reference to vocational hypotheticals, but he rejects the other one in terms of application of the listings. So for those two reasons, we're requesting that the matter be sent back for further exploration of the somatoform issue, such that we can have perhaps a psychological workup on Mr. White.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Whitley. Ms. Sand?
May it please the court, counsel. The issue in this case is whether substantial evidence supports the finding of the administrative law judge. Here, after considering the record evidence, the administrative law judge reasonably found that Mr. White had a number of severe impairments. Considering these impairments, he reasonably restricted Mr. White to light work that allowed him to alternate between sitting and standing, and that restricted his use of his right arm for doing tasks above the shoulder level. Substantial evidence supports this finding. As the administrative law judge noted, contrary to what Mr. White is arguing here, not just Dr. Collier, the medical expert, but another doctor, a state agency physician, agreed with the administrative law judge that Mr. White could do light work. An administrative law judge, in reaching his finding, reasonably relied on these well-supported doctors' opinions. Other probative medical evidence also supported his finding. For example, the objective medical evidence did not support Mr. White's contentions of disabling pain. While he complained of pain in his neck, an MRI study only showed mild bulging. He also complained that his pain in his neck radiated down his arms, into his back, and down his legs. Yet EMG studies revealed no evidence of radiculopathy. X-rays of his right shoulder and right knee were essentially normal, and in fact, examinations generally revealed minimal findings. Other probative evidence also supported the ALJ's finding. For example, while Mr. White is contending he has disabling pain, he often admitted he wasn't even taking any prescription pain medication. In fact, on several occasions, he acknowledged he wasn't even taking over-the-counter pain medication. Moreover, he underwent an examination, a functional capacities evaluation, at which time he did not put forth his best effort. Despite this, however, he still demonstrated that he could do sedentary work. This evidence supports the judge's conclusion that Mr. White was not disabled and could perform a range of light work. Mr. White contends, nonetheless, that he should be found disabled because two doctors diagnosed a somatoform disorder. However, the mere diagnosis of an impairment says nothing about the limitations that that impairment imposes. And contrary to what Mr. White contends today, the administrative law judge did not ignore that diagnosis. Rather, he explained in his decision he considered it, but reasonably did not assign great weight to the doctors who diagnosed a somatoform disorder. And in fact, those two doctors never treated Mr. White. To the contrary, none of his treating doctors ever diagnosed any sort of a somatoform disorder. Nonetheless, the administrative law judge did in fact acknowledge that Mr. White had pain. He found he had a severe impairment due to a chronic pain disorder and accordingly restricted him down to a range of light work. In reaching his decision, the administrative law judge also considered the opinion of Mr. White's treating doctors. However, the judge adequately explained in his decision why he did not credit that decision, the opinion of that doctor, Dr. Woldum. He explained that doctor's findings were not supported by the objective medical evidence, and in fact, Mr. White, at his functional capacities evaluation, demonstrated abilities that exceeded the limitations that his own doctor thought he had. Based on this evidence, the administrative law judge did not credit that opinion. Given Mr. White's residual functional capacity finding and vocational profile, the administrative law judge reasonably found that he could perform a significant number of jobs. This finding was supported by the testimony of a vocational expert. Therefore, substantial evidence supports the finding of the administrative law judge, and we ask the court to uphold the district court judgment affirming the administrative law judge's decision. This court has no questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sand. Was there any time left? Did you want the bottle, Mr. Whitley?
I won't use all that time.
This has nothing whatever to do with the problem, but how old was he when he was in the motorcycle accident?
I don't recall. He was under 30 when he had the motorcycle accident.
What was his employment before the motorcycle accident?
I don't recall that either. I would venture that since the motorcycle accident, his employment has been sporadic.
Yeah. Well, I was just curious of what he was unemployed from.
I don't know.
Federal judge.
He's unemployed from pain in every leg, arm, finger, neck. I mean, the record speaks for itself that anything that could possibly go wrong with a human being, a human body, has practically happened to this man. And there is little or no objective evidence to support that. But I think the question is, one, whether it's a listing or not. And just with the brief moment I have, I just want to highlight what I'm talking about as relates to the magistrate's recommended opinion. And this was adopted by the lower court, wherein it he says that the ALJ reasoned that Dr. Woldum's opinion was not entitled to substantial weight because Dr. Woldum was a general practitioner and his opinion was based upon plaintiff's subjective complaints. Well, in a somatoform listing situation, that is the whole premise behind the idea, is that it's going to be based upon subjective complaints with visible functional results. You cannot have a somatoform case with objective findings. You can't have a herniated disc with radiculopathy and a positive EMG and have it be a somatoform situation. The whole idea is that you have pain, which you would expect with that type of injury, stated subjectively with no objective findings. So to discount the opinion on that basis is a catch-22.
Was the ALJ discounting it? Well, let me rephrase that. Wasn't the issue the capacity of a particular physician because of his or her background to interpret those subjective comments about pain?
That may be, although that was not articulated. I don't believe the ALJ specifically indicated that he is discounting the two opinions of two separate doctors on somatoform simply because he did not believe they were qualified to judge the complaints. He said they were not qualified to make a diagnosis, period. The complaints are well documented in the record. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Swidley. And thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.